Let's read together 2 Chronicles chapter 36. In this last chapter of 2 Chronicles, we have the sad record of the last four kings of Judah and the destruction of the temple and the fall of Jerusalem to Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian forces. Let's begin by reading the first 13 verses. Then the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and made him king in his father's place in Jerusalem. Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he became king, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. Now the king of Egypt deposed him at Jerusalem, and he imposed on the land a tribute of 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. Then the king of Egypt made Jehoahaz's brother, Eliakim, king over Judah and Jerusalem, and changed his name to Jehoiakim. And Necho took Jehoahaz, his brother, and carried him off to Egypt. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord his God. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against him and bound him in bronze fetters to carry him off to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar also carried off some of the articles from the house of the Lord to Babylon and put them in his temple at Babylon. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim, the abominations which he did and what was found against him, indeed, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. Then Jehoiakim, his son, reigned in his place. Jehoiakim was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months and 10 days. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. At the turn of the year, King Nebuchadnezzar summoned him and took him to Babylon with the costly articles from the house of the Lord and made Zedekiah, Jehoiakim's brother, king over Judah and Jerusalem. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear an oath by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart against turning to the Lord God of Israel. Let's begin our study of this chapter, 2 Chronicles chapter 36, with some background notes. In 2 Chronicles chapters 34 and 35, we had the account of good King Josiah of Judah. During his reign, the greatest revival in Judah's history took place in 621 BC. But unfortunately, King Josiah died tragically when he was only 39 years old. He made the mistake of trying to interfere in an international affair between Egypt and Babylon, which was really none of his business. As a result, Josiah was killed and Judah was deprived of one of their best kings. Following Josiah's reign, the nation went downhill morally and spiritually. Four more kings came to the throne, and they were all bad kings, as we've just read. Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah all did evil in the sight of the Lord. Jehoahaz was made king in 609 BC when Josiah was killed. But he only reigned 3 months because Pharaoh Necho took him as a captive to Egypt and replaced him with another son of Josiah named Eliakim and changed his name to Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim reigned over Judah for 11 years, from 609 BC down to 598 BC. And during his reign, Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians made the first of three invasions of Judah. In 605 BC, Nebuchadnezzar took Daniel and other promising young men to Babylon as captives, along with some of the temple treasures. Later, when Jehoiakim rebelled and looked to Egypt for help, Nebuchadnezzar took Jehoiakim himself as a captive. And when Jehoiakim died in 598 BC, his son Jehoiachin was put on the throne. Verse 9 says that Jehoiakim was only 8 years old in some of your translations. But because of a manuscript variation, it should probably be 18 years old, in line with a parallel passage in 2 Kings chapter 24. After all, we read there in 2 Kings chapter 24 that Jehoiakim had several wives when he became king. Jehoiakim only reigned for 3 months, because in 597 BC, Nebuchadnezzar made his second invasion of Judah, and took the king and a considerable number of captives to Babylon, including the prophet Ezekiel, along with more of the temple treasures, as we see in verse 10. Nebuchadnezzar replaced Jehoiakim with the puppet king Zedekiah. Zedekiah was the third and youngest son of former King Josiah, and therefore the uncle of King Jehoiakim. We read in verse 13 that Zedekiah broke his agreement that he had made with Nebuchadnezzar before God and turned against the Lord God of Israel. That brings us now to our doctrinal teaching points for 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Doctrinal point number one, the last kings of Judah are a lesson in God's patience. The last kings of Judah are a lesson in God's patience. Verses 14 through 16. Moreover, all the leaders of the priests and the people transgress more and more according to all the abominations of the nations and defiled the house of the Lord which he had consecrated in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent warnings to them by his messengers, rising up early and sending them because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. You know, when we read these verses, our obvious response is, how hard-hearted can these people be? You would think that these last four kings of Judah, along with the people, would have learned the lesson of history. God had greatly blessed the nation under King Josiah. Under his godly reign, the people were so much better off than they were under the wicked reigns of kings Manasseh and Ammon. Now these last four kings of Judah and the people knew this lesson of history, and yet they hardened their hearts. And as verse 14 says, that besides these last four kings, all the leaders of the priests and the people transgressed more and more according to all the abominations of the nations, and defiled the house of the Lord, which he had consecrated in Jerusalem. It's a wonder that God didn't zap them all immediately. But notice the long-suffering and patience of God in verse 15. And the Lord God of their fathers sent warnings to them by his messengers, rising up early and sending them, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. And what was the response of the people to the patience of God, to the long-suffering of God? Verse 16, but they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. There is a limit to God's patience, then and today. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, the Lord is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. But the Lord will not force or manipulate anyone against their wills, and he will not wait forever. The last four kings and the people of Judah did not respond to the patience of God with repentance, and the nation was conquered. They had many chances to change their ways, but they would not. The patience of God was there, as it is today. Don't wait until it's too late. The last kings of Judah are a lesson in God's patience. Doctrinal point number two, the last days of Judah are a lesson in God's judgment. The last days of Judah are a lesson in God's judgment. Verses 17 through 21. Therefore God brought against them the king of the Chaldeans, who killed their young men with a sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion on young man or virgin, on the aged or the weak. He gave them all into his hand. And all the articles from the house of God, great and small, the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his leaders, all these he took to Babylon. Then they burned the house of God, broke down the wall of Jerusalem, burned all its palaces with fire, and destroyed all its precious possessions. And those who escaped from the sword he carried away to Babylon, where they became servants to him and his sons, until the rule of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. As long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. In verse 21, we see one of the reasons for the 70-year captivity of the Jews in Babylon. Under the law, Israel was to let the land rest every seventh year. They were not to sow and reap that year, and God would take care of them with plenty of leftovers from the previous harvest. Read Leviticus chapter 25 in this connection. But over the years, Israel had disobeyed the Lord in this matter. And therefore the Lord said that the land would enjoy its Sabbaths while the Jews were in captivity in Babylon, away from the land. The prophet Jeremiah had predicted the 70-year captivity in Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 11. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Jeremiah 25, verse 11. The third invasion of Judah by Nebuchadnezzar came in 588 BC, and the siege lasted for almost 2 years. Jerusalem fell in 586 BC, and the city was burned. The people were either killed or taken as captives to Babylon. The beautiful temple of the Lord was robbed of its remaining treasures and destroyed. All of this was the judgment of God upon his people for their sins, as we've read in these verses. The last days of Judah are a lesson in God's judgment. God does not enjoy judging his people, but he must judge them when they sin, just as a good father must judge the rebellion and disobedience of his children. 1 Peter 4:17 says, "Judgment begins with the household of God." 1 Peter 4:17. We clearly see this truth taught here in 2 Chronicles chapter 36. The last days of Judah are a lesson in God's judgment. Now, what about practical application for 2 Chronicles 36? Always remember that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. Always remember that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, beginning now with verse 22. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it in writing, saying, "Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is among you of all his people? May the Lord his God be with him, and let him go up." Always remember that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. You know, this is a verse straight from the book of Proverbs. I'm reading Proverbs 21, verse 1. "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes." Proverbs 21, verse 1. Cyrus was the pagan king of Persia, and yet God brought him to power and moved him to grant permission to the Jews to return to their homeland after 70 years of captivity and rebuild their temple. Who would have ever written such a script other than the Lord himself? Well, you know, the same is true today. Whether it be some government official or your boss or some unbeliever in authority over you, listen, they do not have ultimate control over you. God does. And God can change your situation and conditions overnight if he so chooses. Always remember that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord.